You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. I'm here with Kevin, Janet, and Bonnie. Bonnie, what are we talking about?
Fanboy rage!
That's right. We're talking about fanboy rage. Oh, man, I'm excited for this one. Bonnie, that was perfect. So, Kevin, let elaborate a little bit on this so people can understand what we're talking about when we discuss fanboy rage.
Essentially, this is something that's been going on for at least 10 years now lately in pop culture, comic books, movies, TV shows, and even video games, where a certain segment of the pop culture fanboys are upset with certain types of characters being introduced. Now, sometimes it may be legitimate, but many times it's just over-the-top rage, and I think they're only doing it just to gain popularity in social media to help with the algorithms, to get extra clicks. So they'll be upset if there's a female character. They'll be upset if there's a Black or Asian character or Mexican character. They just get upset for nothing. So they feel like there's not enough white male characters in particular, or they just don't like the storyline because there's too many female, you know, heroes or something like that. It's just all over the place where what they're raging about.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. Yeah, it doesn't. It makes sense in that it doesn't make sense. Wow. What would be a good example of this would probably be what we've been seeing lately. And I don't want to say it's misogynistic, because I don't necessarily know that it's misogynistic in that it probably is. But in that, for example, let's look at how angry everybody got. Everybody was super excited, I feel like, when Captain Marvel came out. Marvel's Captain Marvel movie was it Brie Larson, I believe?
Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson.
Yes. When Brie Larson was cast, Brie Larson was this kooky, kind of a cool actor. She'd been in some really good stuff, and she's got some chops. She's got some moxie to her, you know? She's a solid actor. And when we heard that she was cast as Captain Marvel, we were like, okay, well, they're going with the female version of Captain Marvel instead of Marvel. Thank you. The Marvel. So they're going with Carol Danvers instead, which is fine, you know, because Carol Danvers has been around a long time. And we're like, okay, you know, we can swing with this. And then the movie came out, and it wasn't very good, in my humble opinion. It wasn't a good movie, but it wasn't very good in that they made Captain Marvel, they made Carol Danvers very cold,
right?
Very uncaring about anybody,
and overpowered.
And overpowered, yeah. And that's a problem. It would be like if you made Superman uncaringly cold and just overpowered. It's never going to work. It's never going to work because Superman is warmth. Superman is the light and the dark. You know, he's the strength that some of us don't have that lifts us up when we're down. You know, he fights for the underdog. He fights for the poor, for the disserviced and the underserved. That's what we want in that type of godlike character, which is what Captain Marvel was to be made into in these films, in these subsequent films. And they mistakenly made her character very cold. Mm. And I think in doing that, it created this backlash towards female heroes in general. Yep. Because everybody thought, oh, great, another female, another cold hero, another uncaring person. So they started to equate female superheroes with cold people.
I don't think
that's fair, to be clear. I don't think it's fair, but it does feel like that's how that happened. Am I wrong here? What's your guys' take on this?
That does seem like kind of accurate, especially I think about even Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She seems a little more warm, even though, I mean, I only think you get to see her like with a little kid, like sort of in like a motherly maternal kind of role for a little bit. But she's to me like that counterpart to Superman. She's a source of light as a person, as an actress. She's super warm. But when you think about how they had Brie Larson portray Captain Marvel, it's a little more like young and spunky, and you don't really imagine her being as like caring and giving, and like how you're saying how she could have been portrayed more like in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They made her very quirky and fun loving in the comic books. And then they put her in the films, and she's, you know, I get it. You know, she's supposed to be Captain Marvel. You know, there's a stewardship that comes with it. There's a military aspect. But to me, people are going to hate me for this, but I don't care much for John Stewart's Green Lantern, because I don't find his military mind to work with who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. I don't have that thought process. I don't have the thought process of this military mind of breaking everything down methodically. I'm more of an emotional person. So for me, the Green Lantern that I resonate the most with is either Guy Gardner or Kyle Rayner. Most likely Kyle Rayner, because he's also an artist. So he has that theatrics to him. And mm-hmm. Guy's just hot-headed and spirited, but very loyal and stubborn. And I can akin to that also. I never really got close to Hal either, because Hal was just fearless. And I'm like, shit, I'm scared of spiders. You know, like, I don't know what the hell. I can't relate to Hal. That guy would just be like, oh, this little thing, you know, pick it right up and fling it and be like, oh, that was a Black Widow. Yeah, I know, but I don't care. I'm Hal Jordan. You know, I wouldn't do that. I would be like, ah, buddy, come get it. You know, that's what would
happen. I'm not getting it for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. See, then you couldn't relate to Hal either, I guess.
No, not at all. Not
you know what else I feel like we're kind of missing is she needs to have like friends. Captain Marvel. Does she have like a close guy friend or woman friend? She just seems kind of like she's totally on her own. Like she does not even like she's part of the team a little, but like she needs to have a close friend.
She had Monica Rambeau.
I think they need to be even closer and show even more of the warmth that they could have for each other. Like said, they complain or be sad about something, and then the other sequel, girl shows compassion.
The sequel did kind of do that. The Marvels,
yeah,
it did kind of do that.
Beginning. And like, yeah, and that she loves her daughter, and we get that. So there you see her with like a young girl, but there needs to be more coming out of Captain Marvel. You could get more depth out of her. And I think even Brie Larson probably has more depth that they may not have wanted to portray, or she wasn't portraying it. But I think she is probably a very kind, sweet, compassionate person, she seems like in real life. But you don't really see it. You don't see all of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's true. You don't get to the core, the center of the Tootsie Pop, so to speak, with her character. And it's not explored. And instead of trying to create that exploration in the sequel, they pivot hard and decide to add two more Marvels. And create a fun-filled romp, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Yep. I am one of probably the few people that said, this movie's fun on a bun.
Yeah.
Like the Marvels, I enjoyed the hell out of. I really thought it was a lot of fun. And in fact, I think if a lot of people that didn't watch it because of the first Captain Marvel film, go and watch the second one, they're going to enjoy it so much more, because you still have a rather stern-headed Captain Marvel, you know, Carol Danvers. But then you add in the fun eccentricness of Kamala Khan. And then you add in, what's her name? Photon? Monica Rambeau, but yeah, more Photon-y.
Yeah, but Photon, yeah.
Yeah. You add in that characteristic, in that aspect of that character, and you get this fun, they keep swapping places throughout the entire film whenever there's any type of action.
And they use happens. Their powers.
Whenever they use their powers, they have to ultimately use their powers because they're fighting people, that they start swapping places. And it creates this very interestingly fun editing sequence of battles, yep, and fight scenes that I think is unique and that we need to revisit in order to see how unique it was and how fun. And it, if you guys will give it a chance, I think you might enjoy it.
You know, minus the that Sing planet, yes.
I enjoyed that movie, but I think, yeah, there could have been a lot more. And I like it when the movie slows down a little to let us have more relationships like her with the girls. Why don't we have the girls feel something for Captain Marvel? Why does Captain Marvel have to be all of a sudden the babysitter of these girls and accept them? Why can't they realize what's happening to her?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it seems like you don't, you're not caring as much about that she's conflicted, that now she's connected to all these girls. Like, that's not explored as deeply as I wanted it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no, you're 100% correct. Like, the, and I guess we do to a point, we get a little bit with Monica, because Monica's the daughter, you know?
And we do get Rambo.
And those two really care about each other, and you can tell, but then those other girls are kind of disconnected.
Yeah, Kamala's kind of out there, in which I would call her the wild card of the film. And I think that's where a lot of the fun comes in. And if you guys haven't seen the Ms. Marvel series with Kamala Khan, I think that's a lot of fun. I think it is. I think it's her traditional Muslim background. Yeah.
Yeah, her culture, her Pakistani and Muslim background. Yeah.
Yeah. That we don't ordinarily see, or that we see in passing. Like my neighbors, one of my neighbors is Muslim. And she's great. You know, she's super nice, always kind. I have no complaints about her. She's one of my favorite neighbors. Always there to talk if you want to talk and stuff like that. So I think a lot of times people pigeonhole or they, you know, they put a certain religion or a certain race either on a pedestal or, you know, off of a pedestal, and there's dislike involved and misunderstanding and stuff. And I think we just need to think about that with a more open mind. And particularly, I think with this series, if you do go in with an open mind, you'll find it's quite fun, you know, and it is, I think, also more geared towards teenagers. Mm-hmm, so it's more of a teenager type series. So because there's a lot, and it makes sense because with her religion and her going to school and understanding boys, but also understanding her emotions and now understanding these powers that have been given to her, there's a lot for her to digest. And in that, there's a lot for the audience to digest and understand. And, you know, not just about her as a teenager, but her as an individual, her as a Muslim American, her as a, you know, a superhero, her as a hormonal teenage girl also comes into play, of course. But, you know, there's so much more, and there's layers and depths, and it makes it fun. If it's not for you, it's not for you, and that's fine. But I think the films really portrays it well and shows you her fun-loving aspect, which I think is very good.
And that's where the ignorance comes in.
Oh, sorry. Are they not going to do, like, sequels with those women? Like,
no, because of movie bombed, so probably not. You'll probably see them in the next Avengers movie, but they're probably not going to get another, individual movie like that again.
It would be nice to see them getting older, and then you can get a movie that feels kind of like Doctor Strange, where you see all this conflict and things that he went through, and he doesn't get to be with the woman that, you know, he wanted to be his wife. And when you really can get in depth with a character, I think that's really valuable for a movie.
Yeah, and I think we're going to probably get a little more in that. We'll get a season probably 3 of What If. I think that's coming. And in that, they can explore a lot of those aspects. My favorite of season 1 of the What Ifs was the Doctor Strange episode, where what if Doctor Strange just didn't give up? And in that meaning, what if he felt that he could bring the love of his life back? Because he was ultimately responsible for her death.
Right.
And it crushed him, yes, but he found a way back into the light, and that was through religion and through magic, the occult, and through sheer determination, of course. But what if none of that worked for him, and he realized that, he could use his will to use the occult than to try to bring her back. And that's where we teetered on the evil side of Doctor Strange, which became fascinating. So I feel if we, you know, if we look a little more, I'm sure they're not going to do an episode that's called What If, you know, Captain Marvel Wasn't a Bitch. That's not going to be an episode that's going to happen. But, you know, what if Captain Marvel wasn't a captain, or, you know, something along those lines? What if there was no military involvement, period,
right,
and she somehow still became Captain Marvel? You know, what if she was a circus performer? You know, what if she...
More like Miss Marvel instead of Captain
Marvel. What if she was a scientist and she had created a thing that drew the original Captain Marvel to her, you know, to the planet? And crash there, we do a Green Lantern style, and then, you know, gives her, you know, bequeaths upon her the powers.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, you know, if people, I feel, a little ignorant because they're seeing all these different types of characters be introduced the last, you know, 7 years or so. So Black Panther, Shang-Chi, the Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, a lot of people get triggered for some reason. It's just you're seeing something, a different culture. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Yet these same people complain about seeing the same old, same old. So mm-hmm. you do get a little bit of originality. Now all of a sudden you're upset about it. And I know what it's really all about. You don't want to see a non-white male character or a white character. I get it. But, you know, just be open-minded and give it a chance. But instead, some people won't even watch these movies or TV shows. At least it's just, oh, no, I'm just going to attack it and destroy it before I even give it a chance. Now, sometimes you might be proven right. Maybe it is a bad story. Maybe it is a bad script. But you can't just paint a broad brush saying that any type of change, any type of difference here is just going to suck. It's just terrible. It's woke. You know, it's just, I didn't even know what that
was. Give some positive feedback.
A lot of people are, for whatever dumb reason, afraid of the unfamiliar.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Now, they want everything to be just as the way it is in their perfect little comfort zone, and they want things to reflect whatever their little small bubble is. And if it doesn't reflect that bubble anymore, they immediately feel threatened because they think that they are being
personally attacked,
overlooked, or whatever. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they
marginalized.
They're afraid of being the ones that are marginalized when they've always been, you know, the ones on top.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 people in my experience are that way. Honestly, in my 40 some years, I say 9 out of 10. The ignorance is astounding of Americans that don't travel.
Right.
Yeah. See the world a little bit.
Things like that. Like, seriously. Because I mean, only me living in New Jersey with the Pakistani kids and the black kids, Chicago, certain amount of black kids, Mexican kids, LA, all these people, LA seems the most ignorant, honestly. And I would have thought that it would be one of the better melting pots out of Miami, Cincinnati, Chicago, and New Jersey. But no, this particular town cannot understand that it's a melting pot.
Yes, clicks. Very clickish. I stay in my side of town.
Label. This is what I saw in a movie. So here's the label.
Let me ask you guys something here. And this is going to be a little bit of a hot topic, but
good.
As far as character design, let's say. Okay. Now, I know, for example, when we watched The Man of Steel, and it was, what was his name? Jesus.
Henry Cavill? No.
The guy that played Perry White in it. He was also, I'm horrible with names.
Oh, Morpheus?
Yes, Morpheus. Yeah. What is his name?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne in The Man of Steel, and in I think it was Batman versus Superman, he played Perry White. And I thought it was kind of, I chuckled at first because his last name's Perry, you know, White.
Right.
He's played by black.
The irony.
And Perry White's traditionally a white man in the comic books and stuff. And ordinarily, to me, I'm one of those people where I like my characters to look like my characters. So if Perry White was a white dude in the comics and stuff, I would expect him to be a white dude in the films. But I watched the movie and I had no issues with Lawrence Fishburne playing Perry White. He just felt very newspaper-ish. Like he had studied for the role. He had done his research. He had been the character that I had known. And and I very much appreciated that. So I actually had no problem with it. It didn't bother me at all.
And Nick Fury, too.
Yeah. And then Nick Fury. Nick Fury was normally traditionally a white dude. Now we've got Sam Jackson, you know, and everybody loved Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. It's one of those universal equalizers, in other words.
I remember when Daredevil came out, there was a lot of people, the first Daredevil with Ben Affleck, there were a lot of people that were upset over Michael Clark Duncan being
until they watched the film. And he was awesome. He is still to this day. Sure, Vincent D'Onofrio, I feel has now officially defined the role. Yes. Know, but Michael Clark as the Kingpin, I saw it. I saw his menace. I saw his genius. I saw every bit in Kingpin that I needed to see in Michael Clark Duncan in that performance. So again, I had no problem with it. But I'm wondering if I would have the same thought process if they came out and they were like, okay, now Barry Allen, but he's black, you know, or Barry Allen and he's Chinese, you know, like played by a Korean man. Would I have in my head, this is a question I always ask, would I draw umbrage? Would I have an issue with that? Mm-hmm. What would my thought process be? Because
I think
this is now the main character.
Always just want to know if the personality and the vibe of the person comes across. Like you just said, you were able to accept Lawrence Fishburne. I think the people that think like you, that don't have that bigotry thing in their brain, you just want to say, is the character being played the way I see the character?
I don't know necessarily even that it's a type of bigotry. I think that for lack of a better word, I would say it's a purist. It's somebody that wants something to be at its purest form, at the closest to the original that it could absolutely be.
So
that's
more like
somebody that's fallen in love. Possibly. Somebody that's fallen in love with a character because they looked a particular way.
Yeah.
And to take that away from them, it's jolting. And it can be seriously jarring to somebody, particularly if it's somebody with a different, you know, skin tone. Or take a spin on it, a different sex.
Or gender.
You know? Yeah. Or played by a transgender or something, you know, anything like that. So,
it's not really a prejudice thing. It's just a matter of preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, actually, and I don't hold it against anybody that's upset that, you know, Michael Clark Duncan was the Kingpin and they wanted a white guy. I'm not upset with somebody that's saying that. I'm upset if they're disgusted by it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a big difference. There's a big difference between not liking it and being disgusted by it.
I also like
it. I mean, for me, where you draw the line is, why are you upset by it?
Yeah.
Right. What's triggering you?
Yeah. Because there's a thin line between like, okay, maybe somebody's not disgusted by it, but they're still upset. For very prejudicial reasons, not necessarily even like just because, oh, well, you know, it's not exactly like the comic. What if it's
right.
You know, that's
but,
surface
but
level.
Could you accept somebody? Could you accept somebody that's upset because it's not like the comic book? Or would you throw out, oh, you're a racist, you're a bigot? You know, would you throw those titles out at them? Or would you understand where they're possibly coming from? Because I think this is, thank you, Jan, because like I think this is where. Where that wall begins to see cracks, and I feel we have to walk that line very tightly, because if you go over that and you accuse somebody that's just thinking, I just want this character to look like what he looks like, and you accuse that person of being racist because, you know, for example, because Superman in your eyes is a white Kryptonian, and suddenly he's a, you know, a Korean man, which they did. I think they did Chinese, actually. Kong Kingan, or was it it was Chinese, I think, or South Korean. But so it suddenly you have that happen. Can you see why somebody would be not upset, but they would be jarred, and then they would react emotionally about that? Or would you instantly go to the race card and be like, oh, this person's racist because they can't accept that this guy's, you know, not Chinese or not white and he's Chinese or something?
No, I don't think most people, and I wouldn't say they were automatically racist.
I don't know. I still have to go back to the why, because
dude, she would just like, keep asking questions.
Like I get the knee-jerk reaction of, oh my God, they don't look the way they did in the comic. I get that knee-jerk reaction, but that's a knee-jerk. If you're going to be upset about it beyond that knee-jerk reaction, that's where I think it gets questionable, because it get, you know, then you have to get into the argument of, okay, but is this character being white central to the story?
That's a very good point.
Are we bringing their point be central to the story? Like a, it doesn't like, make a difference Irish. If the character is white, black, or Asian. A lot of the times with these but characters,
you could say that with anything, that though, in my eyes, because you could have a Wakandan be a white person. You could essentially, like, we got to flip the script for a second and say, Cuban, what if you had girl. The Black Panther was a white dude? You know, first that of all,
or Shang-Chi, Shang-Chi is a Mexican guy.
Yes. Yeah. It's or Shang-Chi is Mexican.
That is very different.
I mean,
how? Just in that, because if you can write it into the script, if you can say that nothing changes about the essence of that character, like let's say he was adopted and that's it and everything else is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there an issue then that Black Panther's white?
And Superman was adopted.
Or, you know, that the Flash is Mexican or something.
Right.
Anything like that. And I don't think that would work with Speedy Gonzalez. That went down. That probably would not work.
What does the outside person think of that Korean white guy?
Right.
That's she wants to know more of what's this like.
Flora would have to explain why that is. That's the most important thing.
I think that's why we have the what ifs, and we have the else worlds and stuff like that to explore those aspects. And I certainly agree that we could do that in film too. And we could do it as canon, or we can do it separately, or however we want to do it, because anything that's been done in film doesn't mean that that's your version. Your version can remain your version. Mm-hmm. This is somebody else's version. And if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it.
That's right. It's their art.
It's their art. It's their interpretation. It's their story. It's their telling of this. And that's where it's harder for a lot of people to wrap their brain around it, I think. And I can totally understand that. You know, I mean, I've had my moments where it's hard for me to wrap my brain around a lot of things. I'm kind of stupid, actually. But, you know, what does that vending machine do? What? You know, those kinds of things. It's like there's a cupcake vending machine, guys. And that
that's crazy.
Blows my mind still to this day that we can get fresh cupcakes out of a vending machine. I just love it. But without continuing on that path, we're still discussing fanboy rage.
Right.
And it just doesn't always equate to race. It doesn't always equate to sex. Sometimes it equates to downright terrible storytelling.
The stories, yeah.
In which case we can relate to perhaps a lot of films in the 90s that were superhero related, and most of Sony's stuff that they've put out in the last 15, 20 years or so. Having just finished Madam Web, I can completely understand people being upset about the way things were handled. And it wasn't so much that I didn't particularly care for the characters. It was just the story overall was weak, and the villain was just god awful. It was
very poor casting. The lead actress does movie too.
I was going to say, the one thing that's kind of setting me, I haven't watched it yet. The one thing that's holding me back is the fact that Dakota Johnson is the lead, and I'm not a
big fan. She does the movie too.
Yeah, she's not a great actress.
Well, she is.
And she's not in this.
And she is an Nepo movie. I'm sorry, she's an Nepo baby.
She's not in this at all. She's.
Yeah, not a good actor in this. Yeah.
No.
Oops. So who would you have picked instead of her for the 50 Shades of Grey? I'm sure I probably upset you too.
I mean, that was a first date movie for me. I didn't know anything about it. And me and this girl went out, and we went to see 50 Shades of Grey as our first date.
Wow. Wow.
Well, we had ramen, first of all, which is weird to have soupy noodles on your first date. But then we washed that down with 50 Shades of Grey. And halfway through the film, I looked over and I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't.
That was one of the worst first dates.
Tied up and spanked and shit. I was like, this is not what I'm expecting. I mean, if this happened, sure, that would be great. But this is definitely not what I'm expecting in this relationship or this date at all. And I'm very sorry about it. And we did have a good laugh afterwards because she helped pick the film too, but it was still very strange.
And the other thing I find silly too is some of these fellas getting pissed off about are video game characters. It's fiction. And one of the latest things that I was cracking up about was, you know, the Assassin's Creed video game series, you know, with pirates and adventurers. They're upset because there's a black character named Yosuke, which actually existed, a black samurai. So, you know, they do like a samurai video game and they're upset there's a black samurai. I don't get it. Okay. Especially the fact that the character actually existed in real life.
That's just people not doing their research. That's people just lashing out without even any knowledge. It's ignorance. It's just ignorance. You can be mad at ignorance, but you also can ignore it, you know, a lot of times. And in this case, I would say that's something just to ignore because there's people who are being ignorant.
Right. Just don't buy the game. That's as simple as that. You know, don't buy the game. Same thing with these TV shows.
Don't want to play a black character? Then don't buy the game. Kick rocks.
The movie, fine. Don't watch the movie. Don't watch the TV show. Although there is something sinister going on too lately. I hear with Rotten Tomatoes and services like that where people intentionally try to bomb the ratings, the popularity rating, just to make sure that the movie is getting like a bad rap essentially. I heard they've been doing that lately the last few years.
Yeah, well, it's like you were talking about She-Hulk and everybody was talking about how, you know, it was terrible and stuff.
Right.
And you're watching
didn't
it,
even see it.
And you're like, this was actually pretty good. And then I mentioned, well, the last episode was kind of shit. And then you agreed. But the rest of it was pretty solid. You know,
people who never have seen the show automatically say it's terrible. And the show's woke. Oh, here's the best part. Why is there a female Hulk? Why do you have to do that for?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That's the stupidest people.
The character's been around since 1980, and you're sitting there complaining, what do you have to get a female Hulk for?
Yeah, this is so stupid. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
But why is there a Supergirl then, right? Why is there a Wonder Woman?
What's one, like a character or a film or something or a game or anything like that that you guys were wrong about, like that you thought was going to be terrible for a particular reason and ended up being pretty good? Can you think of anything off the top of your head? Because I certainly can. I could think of a couple. I could think of when it comes to superhero films and strictly from the 90s. I thought that Tank Girl was going to be kind of terrible. And then I watched it and I loved it. And I still love it to this day. I will watch Tank Girl any day of the week. In fact, there was a particular song that was playing on the radio. And my coworker, JR, looked at me and he said, "What movie was this in?" And I looked at him and I said, "Give me a second." About 10 seconds passed and I went, "Tank Girl." And he was like, "My man." You know, we high-fived because we both have a love for that film. But when it was first announced and stuff, I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. You know, what is this, a dystopian thing with a girl and a tank that's alive or something? I was like, it sounds dumb. But it was actually really fun and really enjoyable. Silly, but really enjoyable.
You know, Blade, I had low expectations going in years ago when I went to watch the movie theater. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I was like, and then I saw, oh, man, this is cool. This is awesome.
You know, we were just talking about that. We're not sure if they're ever going to go back to the original look of Blade because in the comics, ever since Wesley Snipes played Blade, Blade looks like Wesley Snipes.
Yep.
So they're basically using his image in the comics. It's kind of crazy. And he's just like chilling and not even thinking about it.
And to be honest with you, his version looks much better than the original comic books version.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Like, how are you going to maintain that hair when you're fighting all these vampires?
The hair, that particular glasses he's wearing, and like he has like little stakes, the way they're set up on his, you know, on his jacket. It just looked all weird the way it was drawn.
Yeah.
But Wesley's version looks sleek, looks slick. And a lot of people forget that bullet time that the Matrix used was in Blade first. People forget that. way to actually have that bullet time technology first.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And Blade is the first true MCU movie for all intents and purposes. The first successful Marvel film.
Yeah. It just happened again, by the way. Just letting you know, Janet. In case you're not doing it. But what do you, Janet, Bonnie, do you guys have one that you're thinking of offhand?
Sorry, go ahead. From the 90s? I mean, the first... From any time? I am such a girl, but yeah. way back when the now famous and beloved Cinderella was remade by Disney with Whitney Houston and Brandy, I was a little taken aback, I will admit. I was shocked. I had that knee-jerk reaction, but that was also coming from a place of admitted ignorance. And of course, now I love it. Everybody loves it. It was so good. It was such a great, fun little movie.
Because when you're younger, Cinderella's a white girl that's abused by white women, and you can see that. And in your mind, from when you were a child, you were raised to understand that, and then it changed.
But honestly, most of it came from trying to suspend the disbelief of Whoopi Goldberg and Victor Garber.
Yeah, that they're. Filipino or something.
Fair. It was like the suspension of disbelief of, wait, no, those two can't make an Asian baby.
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's
but,
fair.
But now, like, okay, we can suspend the disbelief. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Imagination.
Well, for me, I was going to say the Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, just because it's probably more the cartoons, you know, that I watched rather than having read any Spider-Man comics. But then I got a hold of Spider-Man comics and I was kind of like, I don't know about this, if it's going to feel as like animated, and I didn't know how like CGI was going to work, you know, because that was like one of the first ones for our generation that was done so well with computer graphics and things. And I love that first one with Toby.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
That turned out so good.
That's the second one.
Second one's even better.
Want them to either get a wig for Kirsten Dunst or pick one specific red hair dye instead of her naturally blonde hair keeps getting faded, because it's very hard to keep red.
Isn't it interesting that they had the blonde with the fake red, and then they had the red head with the fake blonde?
It was weird.
Wait, and switch it
Emma
out. Thanks.
Actually dyes her hair red in real life, I found out too.
Oh, really? What is her natural? Yeah. Probably brown,
It's like mine, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Dirty blonde.
Dirty blonde. Yeah. And so, everybody thought she was a redhead. But with Kirsten, I'm like, just give her a wig, because red is very hard to keep. And it's fine if Mary Jane wants to change the tone, but it was so drastically different in all three that it was bugging.
It's hard. Yeah. Mary Jane should never not be a redhead. That would be a thing, too. If they made Mary Jane like black hair or something.
My thing. Yeah. You don't want to not.
See, this is the one thing that we're going to land on that's going to be the ultimate equalizer.
It's
here
like
is
Annie.
Mary Jane's
Annie,
head redhead.
Red hair, you guys, the character? Orphan Annie?
Orphan. Oh yeah, yeah. What if she didn't have red hair?
Take away her red hair, or Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
For argument's sake, they did remake Annie in recent years.
I mean, she didn't have it
with a black Annie. And,
oh, well, that's
and,
kind of cool.
Was it Jamie Foxx? He was Daddy.
Right. They did.
Oh wow, yeah. That's crazy.
I did not think a remake was necessary at all, so I didn't watch it, because I was like, with this cast, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the fact that you know, it was reimagined with like a black cast. It was just because I very much love Annie in general, and it did not need to be remade.
Like Carol Burnett, I know, we had such a good cast.
Yeah, it's so classic. I remember there was a TV version that was that they did in the late 90s, I think. And that one was crummy also, but
When certain characters, like, that's what they're known for, is like the hair color. I like, though, in a way that
I wouldn't care about the, I just, if it was good, If it had been good at all. Then
but sometimes a hair color is an iconic part of the character, like such as an Annie.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying earlier, Guy Gardner, you know, he's Irish. He's a redhead. They always akin him with, you know, being Irish and a redhead and stuff. And if they changed his hair color to be a blonde or something, it wouldn't feel the same.
It just doesn't feel the same. It feels like a knockoff version of that person, like a generic. And I think it's because we have generic things, generic cereals, generic squirt gun, generic something.
That's a good way to think about that. Yeah.
Feels generic. It doesn't feel as great.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. But you might be onto something there, Janet. You really might. But I want to know what you guys think in the comments. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you thought, what you think. If you have questions or anything like that, or your thoughts or your ideas, what was a character that changed your mind or that you were like, no, I can't even try, or I'm not even going to entertain this. Let us know in the comments. Reach out to us. We're on all social media platforms, basically. We do this audio podcast. We try to come out every week, but it's not always in the cards. Sometimes life gets in the way. But we do our best. We want to thank you for listening and thank you for being a part of this. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at a tolerant, fun-loving, and non-controversial comic book shop.
Yay!
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.